What the fuck is up, everybody? Welcome to the Great Girls Podcast. One half of your favorite fat duo, Tony here with my other half, Mr. Austin Rawlson. Austin, buddy, how you been?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Man, I'm tired. Got a lot to talk about. Other than that, I'm all right. I mean, I'm in this really weird period where I'm bored as fuck in my life right now. No creativity whatsoever. Been reading a lot, so there's that.
It's time for Tony to watch Outer Banks.
I've been hearing that from everyone I work with, too. They're like, bro, Outer Banks, you seen it? And I'm like, no, I haven't yet.
Dude, you like National Treasure. It's like that.
Really?
It's so good. I mean, it's the best thing. It's one of the best things there. It's one of the best shows I've ever watched.
Well, I've heard that. Like, who was it that was telling me? It's someone I work with was telling me that it's definitely worth checking out. So I'm going to have to at some point. God, this fucking room echoes in here. Do I sound funny?
Not overtly.
Okay, good. I'm just going to leave it the way it is then. Aside from that, dude, we've got a couple things we got to cover because we've missed quite a bit. One of which I think is the most important. I was going to say Brendan Fraser winning an Oscar. That's a big deal. Finally winning a fucking Oscar.
I think it's everybody goes, oh, this is what the Twilight Zone looks like.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he's not wrong.
It's so cool. It's him and Short Round both got Oscars.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that weird, dude? Like, he like disappeared for a while, and then those two dudes were like, hey, we're making this movie about multiverses and shit. You want to be in it? And then he just won an Oscar. It's different.
His acceptance speech is so awesome.
Oh, yeah, man. You don't hear a lot of that stuff. You know what I mean? It's like very, very different.
He's like, I started life on a refugee boat. And now I'm standing in front on the biggest, brightest stage in America. This is the American dream. And it's still alive. And you're like, USA! USA!
Yeah, dude, pretty much. It's like, it's just different.
He said, I was just like, I freaking love America.
Dude, it's got to be like a rare moment where you hear a celebrity saying that. You know what I'm saying? It's like shocking. You're like, oh, shit. Somebody right. Actually likes it. Who's not a fucking moron, so that's always cool. But no, it was cool seeing him win. I mean, I know how dumb this sounds. I kind of knew he was getting it, just because not only was the movie good, we've covered that, but who else was going to get, you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of a given. I'm happy. I mean, dude, that's the fucking songbird of my generation, so it's long overdue.
And then Jamie Lee Curtis got one, too.
What did she get one for, though? I don't remember.
Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, yeah. God damn. imagine that.
Pretty cool group.
That's fucking crazy, dude.
Other than Jamie Lee Curtis being a crazy person who has a tranny son.
She is crazy, bro. Like, I will say that. She's fucking nuts. I mean, they all are. It's like we've discussed before, Hollywood's basically one big cult, so you know you can't expect much from them. It kind of makes sense, but it's one of those things where you're like, well, if you weed it out like fact versus fiction, then you're pretty much good to go, because you could be a Christian and love anti-religious movies, because that's what most movies are. Or at least that's the theme in Hollywood. Have you noticed that? Like, everything is anti-religion, anti-white people these days, anti-straight people. And if it's not anti-straight people, it's more like soy boy cuck and just like super hardcore feminist chick. So you can't say that, though. You're not allowed to say that. You can get canceled.
What's crazy to me was these people online were all angry that Brendan Fraser got it and said it was fat phobic. He won the Oscar. Because you played a fake fat guy.
Dude, these people are so annoying. Like, they're the same people that get mad if the actor plays a person that's Down syndrome. And they're like, he's not really Down syndrome. I'm like, well, yeah, no shit. That's a famous actor. You can't have
an actual sawed-off human up there.
Yeah, like,
playing. What the
fuck? Well, those are those people you just can't... You can't trust a fucking thing they say. God, I look terrible without glasses. I just realized this.
I was laughing so hard. I listened to Theo Von.
I like Theo Von. He's pretty fucking funny.
And he's talking about people with discrepancies. And he's like, well, we had a guy at that was my neighbor, and he had Down.
Where'd you go?
There we go. Hello?
Oh, God. Like Austin died. Where'd you go?
No, but Dale Bond was like, we had a neighbor who was they had Down syndrome, but then forgot to do the paperwork on him. So he was like, he was not registered. So people are like, oh, no, he doesn't have Down syndrome. He's just Irish.
He's just Irish.
No one's that Irish.
Bro, fucking... did you see... It was a couple weeks ago, so it's not too relevant, but the QAnon... did we talk about this? The dude that they were showing videos of this motherfucker for January 6th, how he was given a tour of the building and shit by the police?
Yeah.
On Tucker Carlson or whatever, we got to talk about that because a lot of people are like kind of throwing a fit about it. Understandably so. You know, bringing up a touchy subject. An insurrection, if you will. Or so they call it. I don't fucking know. That, because the thing is, dude, is like the news really does leave out important information. So it's kind of hard to figure out what the fuck is what.
They made that guy the QAnon shaman. They made him like the poster child, the face of.
Yeah.
It turns out like this dude was just like being escorted around by police officers on a tour of the building.
Yeah, like there was still definitely a fucking, you know, like a capital riot or whatever they want to call it, the new 9/11 or some bullshit. But
yeah, it happened and it was bad. And there's a lot of people who are violent and disgusting.
Yeah.
But to call it like the greatest threat to democracy since the Civil War is it's moronic.
Funny. Yeah, dude, that's their way of like taking advantage of the American viewer. It's kind of it's just another tactic. That's all it is. It's another way to get people to argue because, you know, I don't talk about work much, but in the place I work, everyone's dumb enough to think this thing is like the new 9/11 or whatever. So, I mean, it's clearly working when they call it that on the fucking news and shit. But what I want to know is what's going to happen with him now that that fucking footage is out there? Is he still in jail or prison or whatever?
Yeah, well, I imagine because...
Yeah, I was going to say...
His lawyer didn't get access to that... footage. He's gonna throw a fit and probably get him acquitted.
I would. I'd be like, dude, you guys fucked me. Somebody owes me some answers. You know what I mean? Like, that's something I would at least look into. You would think that, but who would have thought, though, Tucker Carlson would be the one to put it on his shit?
Well, Tucker Carlson's taking it too far the other way now. Oh, it wasn't a bad thing at all. Like, shut up, Tucker. It was horrible.
Well, yeah, no, like, it was definitely horrible. But he's doing that thing he does, this Tucker Carlson thing, when he should be talking about, like, how, oh, yeah, look, we were given the wrong fucking information about this dude. And what's going on with Trump supposedly going to be arrested or whatever?
Yeah, so he's going to be indicted.
Yeah.
Or he was indicted today. On some like campaign finance law violation and perjury. Because they're saying he used campaign funds to give hush money to Stormy Daniels.
Well, that I can kind of understand. Like, I can understand why, but it's also a tactic to...
The argument is that he used his own money, wasn't campaign funds. He would have... That he's paid a bunch of women in the past before. He would have paid her to shut up whether he was running for president or not. So, you know, I don't think it goes anywhere.
Right. I don't see him doing any time over it. I mean,
no.
And really, I do see the opposing argument, which is, well, anything to stop him from running. Like, yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, what he did was, if he did do it, which it sounds like he did, it's not right, you know? Like, it's still fucking breaking was it laws.
Dumb? Was it dumb? Yes.
Yeah.
Was it bad? Yes. Was it immoral? Yes. Was it illegal? Probably not.
Right. Like, this is just another way to taint his image. I mean, he's already done that himself. I liked him as president, dude. I have no problem saying that. But I said it before, too. He was a shitbag before he was president. He was a fucking businessman. That's just how a lot of them are. To say that one guy is the most evil person in the world is, like, kind of stupid. There's plenty of people out there like that, and he's not even close. But I've been looking all over Twitter and seeing shit about Trump's this evil and all this shit. But aside from that, another thing that's going on that we have to talk about is this whole idea that they want – is it California or someone wants to pass a law that would ban – what the fuck is it? Not necessarily ban, but it would stop the gender-affirming thing where they tried to ban that in some states. What is that called? Let me look this up first. I'm talking out my ass.
Yeah, they did that in Tennessee, Alabama.
Yeah, like it bans the whole gender affirming thing. Whatever the fuck that is. I mean, yeah. And they're trying to pass a law that would make it so that can be overruled or whatever. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Well, I just read about this today. I can't believe I can't find the fucking article. Never mind, I'm not even going to delve into that if I don't have the info on it, because I don't want people getting all mad. But I will say this. Whether you agree or not, I think it's fair to say that drag shows are not for children.
Right.
It's a new thing, apparently. Like, a lot of celebrities on my Instagram and, you know, whatever, like, drag shows aren't evil, yeah. And drag is for kids.
If you want to be a faggot, and run around in women's clothes and gyrate and be retarded, you can do that. But not in front of children.
We should have a clicker for every time someone says the word faggot on our show. Just ding.
Ding.
That's two. Faggot three. But no, like, this idea that it's drag doesn't harm children is kind of moronic. It's weird that we're having this, like, that we're in this stage where people really think that that's okay. I mean, just the idea. You don't even have to go into the specifics of, like, dildos and all that being involved, but just the idea of saying to children, it's okay to dress up like the other. That's so weird that we're even there. Like, it, you know, it goes back to that old saying, stop sexualizing kids. That's all it is. Just stop sexualizing kids. Aside from that, I do have one more thing we got to talk about. Like, that was on my must list. Wait a minute. I think I just lost it. Motherfucker. Yep, I lost it. Never mind. I must have not have been that important. Oh, wait, yeah, it was. A little bit, just a little bit. Rey Mysterio is being inducted into the Hall of Fame for WrestleMania. Like, yippee. You know, I mean, I wasn't really a big Mysterio fan anyway, but that's happening. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. I mean, he deserves it if you ask me, because I know more. You say his name, most people know who that is. I mean, I'd say he deserves it. I just never really was a fan of the whole luchador thing. Racist, I know.
You're a bad, bad Mexican, Tony.
Pretty much, yeah. That's the funny thing, dude, is people think because I'm Mexican, I like Rey Mysterio. Or, like, you know, just Santos Escobar and all these new wrestlers. And I'm like, dude, I don't really dabble in my background, in my ethnic group. So, I don't know, man. Like, I know how racist this is going to sound, and I'll admit it does sound a bit racist, so, I mean, I'm not hiding behind anything. I tend to avoid people of my ethnic group and background. I tend to avoid a lot of people that are in a minority group just because there's this unwritten law, and why people kind of figure this out by now too, but you can't say anything about it because then you're racist. But there's this unwritten law that in order to be a part of these groups because of your skin color, you have to hate white people. It's like a code. Like it's an unwritten law, but it's a law. You have to hate white people, and that's just not me because I don't hate anybody. I mean, I don't like certain groups of people, but I don't hate anyone. So I tend to back away from these groups that are like, equality for all of us. The system wasn't built for us, just white people. I stay away from it because it's all about hating white people. I don't want to fucking... If we're going to talk about equality, we got to talk about everybody. That includes white people, too. I don't like this whole...
Right.
You know, I don't like that shit. Like, it's a common thing. I get into arguments with trolls on Facebook and Twitter all the time about how white people are so evil, this and that. I'm like, okay, but do you hear the words that are coming out your fucking mouth? You're saying that we need to be more inclusive and equal, but you're saying everybody but white people. That's racist. Like, that's, you don't get to pick, you know, your term. You can't pick the word in your own definition. Racism is essentially thinking that you and your race is more superior to another. When you say things like white privilege and, you know, this and that, that's what that is. So I tend to avoid people that are Mexican because that's the thing. Like, very, I do know a lot of Mexican groups or Mexican groups. I do know a lot of groups of people that are of Mexican descent or Cuban or whatever that are very like pro, I don't know, right winger, Republican, conservative, whatever. I know a lot of them. They're not brainwashed, but because they're so, because there's such a bigger population of people that are a minority and hate white people, I tend to avoid a lot of them. Just, it's just not me, but it does sound racist because I'm basically saying that I avoid people of color, which is essentially what I'm doing. Like I said, I know it sounds racist. I'm not going to deny the fact that it sounds racist. I don't think it's racist, but it definitely sounds like it. Just because, like I said, I don't think I should have to hate white people or anybody. Like, I don't even hate trans people. I think there's a misconception that I hate trans people and gay people. I don't. I just don't agree. That's all. You know, like, I don't have to accept you, especially if you can't even accept yourself. So, I mean, it is what it is. I don't know why I was going into that rant there. That was just kind of like a, it was from the heart. I was feeling it.
You know, it's a little Klux Klanny a little bit there, to be honest.
He's all blow, dude. It got very David Duke up in here.
Smelling burning red and Clorox bleach, if you know what I'm saying.
Fucking, it just sucks, dude. Like, I can't, like, talk to one person who has the same color as me that's, like, doesn't have to say, like, anything. They just have, they say nothing positive about white people in general. It's like, bro, you can say positive things about everybody. It doesn't have to be everybody but white people. Like, that's a weird way to live. And I couldn't even imagine being a victim, because that's something that we've talked about in the past too, that there's this big idea that you're a victim if you're not white or whatever, you know, like, it's just this whole,
right.
It's like a trend and it's an ongoing thing. I mean, I work with people that are like that in a sense. Like I said, I'm not going to talk too much about work because I'm not trying to get fired for expressing my opinions. The free speech lets me. You know how it goes, though, dude. If you talk freely, you're like this big piece of shit.
Yep, now you're in trouble.
Oh, man. Well, so what's going on with XFL? Are you still watching that?
Oh, yeah. It's going great. I mean, the football's been good. My air team, San Antonio, it's current. They're playing Arlington right now. And it's been great. It's been really good. Football's been good. It's getting really good ratings. It's looking promising.
I mean, it sounds interesting. I've met a lot of people that are anti-XFL. They're like hardcore NFL fans, and I'm like, God, you guys are like being negative for no reason. Like, just, you don't have to like it, but goddamn, don't talk shit. It's like
football, so.
Yeah, well, it's everywhere you go, dude, because like I say, in the world of wrestling fans, a lot of people hate AEW or a lot of people hate WWE. What I've tend to notice, though, is a lot of people that are WWE, like diehard fans, they don't think much of AEW. They think it's like a lesser company. I'm like, well, if you want to get technical by numbers, technically, yes, but it's the second biggest. I mean, it's still a recognizable company, so to pretend like it doesn't exist is kind of stupid. But again, to each their own. What was I going to say? I was going somewhere with that. Oh, yeah. This is a little off topic, but I want to take this time to talk about this dream I had. So, I had this fucked up dream, dude, that I was talking to somebody. Like, I met them at a bus stop, and they just started, like, talking in a robotic voice. And every time I tried to get, like, a straight answer out of them, they would just hit me with a paragraph, and I was like, what the fuck, dude? And then out of the blue, when I asked them a question, this person started making a beeping sound, and it was like, beep, 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 beep. And I woke up, it was my alarm clock. I was so fucking mad, dude. I was like, God, that son of a bitch. And I was thinking about it all day long. Like, why was that motherfucker talking to me like an AI robot? Right. Come to find out, there's this thing I missed called chat something. You know what I'm talking about? Chat GP something, where it's like an AI. What the fuck is with that? Apparently kids are using it to write paragraphs or essays and shit in school.
Yeah, it's pretty cool software. And Bing has now got it fully integrated. So now, when you ask Bing a question, the ChatGPT will actually answer it. So you have to dig through a bunch of articles and stuff.
Well, apparently you can get it to do things like text people and shit. And I only knew that because I read an article on it. And then, lo and behold, I was watching South Park, the new season, and there's an episode where Stan finds out about it, and he uses it to text his girlfriend, Wendy, because he doesn't want to have a real conversation with her. Dude, she starts talking about all shit he said, and he's like, wait, what? And he has to go back and find what he said. But that brings me to my next point. We've talked about this probably a gazillion times, but I'm going to talk about it again. I am, like, extremely terrified of AI, dude. I'm so scared of it. I do not see any positivity coming out of this. What's your opinion on all this shit, though? I'm just like, I don't think we need it.
No, I think that with most technological advancements, I think it's going to be in a net good. Sure, maybe in 100 years we'll have like Skynet or something, but that sounds like
my fear.
Problems.
That's my fear, dude, that like AI, when it develops a conscience, it's like, wait a minute, why am I serving these motherfuckers and who's my creator? Like, why? I want to know. And then it's like, you know what, dude? Fuck you. Turn on your own light. Like, send your own text message. Matter of fact, fuck your TV and they turn your Wi-Fi off. Because people think I'm crazy, but I'm seriously like, the way we build our society around technology, especially like technology running technology, it's only a matter of time before technology turns on us and goes, you know what? No more internet for you. Flips the switch, turns off the Wi-Fi, turns off all the electricity and the power, you know, power, gas, and the world falls apart. I give it like 3 days until people are like, okay, now it's time to start murdering each other for food. Yeah, I'm scared, dude. Like, I just think about this stuff. I'm like, this shit is so fucking frightening. I don't know why. It's cool. Like, don't get me wrong. It's cool. I'm a sucker for technology, too. I'm just scared of AI shit. Like, I don't understand why people embrace it. But at the same time, maybe I am just a little cuckoo when it comes to it. It scares the fuck out of me.
I just want right a little now, butler. Maybe it's something weird. I want the menial tasks, but is it like big enough or strong enough to fight me? Like I could kick it really far?
Yeah, like I don't want a fucking robot following me around my house. I'd rather have like an Alexa type of thing, but it's essentially like that. I'm like, you know, hey, like Alexa.
Give me like a 4-foot midget robot. Even make his head a little bit bigger than his body. And I could put him in a little dwarf's outfit, and he could run around and do and like clean and sweep my floor. I just want him sweeping and going, hi ho, hi ho, hi ho.
He's like, my lord, your butt wipes, and he has your fucking toilet paper with him.
Thank you, Mark Stephen.
That'd be kind of cool. What'd you say?
Carcifagus.
Carcifagus. I don't know what a name on. Probably something dumb. I can see a future where AI is like running everything to the point that we're relying on it to do shit for us physically. Like, hey, go fetch my inhaler. I'm having an asthma attack. And then it runs and gets it for you.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
I could see that coming. I mean, what's weird is we're really building towards staying indoors more and more, because a lot of stores are closing down, even areas that are like gentrified, because you can do everything online and it's actually super convenient. Like, you know, I'm one of those people to do it too. I fucking grocery shop online now. I mean, I go to the store more than I do online, but because I do it online, I'm one of those people that feeds into the system, and I allow that to put other companies out of business. Like, I don't know how you feel about this, but I really do think that we could look at a time where McDonald's no longer has indoor dining. They just specifically are opened to make food. Like, maybe there's not even like an actual restaurant. It's just like a distribution center where they make the shit and then they send it off to like Uber Eats or whatever, and that gets sent to you. Well, I can see that happening.
I think there'll be spots for that, but I think McDonald's will always have indoor dining. But I do agree that it's going to get to a point where McDonald's has zero employees.
Well, right. Like, I think that there will still be restaurants and stores around, but I almost wonder if it's going to be like one of those things where there's more like distribution and ordering centers where they make that shit and then send it to you than there will be restaurants and stores. Oh, there will still be a bunch, some of them, but I do think there's going to be like less of them. I think we're going to, like, here's an example. Malls have been dying over the years. Supposedly in the last 2 years, though, they've actually been coming back and, like, being more popular. But I can see those going away for sure. Like, first and foremost, I can see Hot Topic going completely online. Spencer's, Foot Locker, all that stuff. But I do see, like, King Super still being around, but they could also be on that trend where it's like, hey, we're hiring Instacart drivers to come pick up from our fucking Kroger distribution center so they can take your order to you. And that's kind of scary, because that just takes away from the experience of sitting with someone in a diner or, you know, whatever. Like, even I think even Starbucks will eventually be like that, but maybe not though, because some people like their shit warm, especially coffee, or, like, you know, not melted, because I know people drink that cold shit, which is really weird to me, like nitro brews and stuff. But I do see a future where, yeah, like, everything, a lot of shit's online, so you don't have to go outside to go anywhere and do that. However, that's not healthy. We do need sun. We do need to be out. But even then, they're creating stuff like Apple and Fitbit and all that has indoor activity shit that you can do to get exercise.
Yeah.
I think all we really need is a way for you to get the vitamins that you need outside with the sun, to where you could literally just be inside. You wouldn't have to go outside ever. Again, strange to me, but I can see that becoming our future. Kind of like in those futuristic films where you see their house is so bare. Because, again, everything's online. Like, you don't really buy movies anymore. You buy them online. Some people don't even buy books anymore. You buy them online. You don't, like, physically collect anything anymore. So I can see it, like, where your room is so fucking bare. You have a metal bed with a sheet on it. And then, like, in the corner is a holographic, like, plant or something. Like, holographic TV or whatever. Like, I don't see anyone actually owning anything. That's why more and more people are collecting shit. Because, like, you know, we've said it before, it's so hard to find physical, like, DVDs and Blu-rays anymore. It's all, like, the newer stuff, and even then, that's kind of dying down, too.
Right.
It makes me sad, dude. It makes me really sad, because I like to collect that shit. It's so hard to find movies. It's all online. And like I said, that has its convenience. It's cool, but maybe I want to own the physical box set of, like, Friday the 13th movies or something like that. You know, like, I want that shit. But it's more convenient to own it on a streaming service, especially, like, Vudu. I use that all the time. But what we don't think about is what happens when those things shut down. And even though you paid for this stuff, you don't actually own the physical rights to it, so they can just revoke it from you. Like, yeah, it doesn't work anymore.
Well, yeah, one of the other things is having a physical copy versus digital, they can edit the digital copy and never tell you.
Oh, yeah, they can edit. There's actually been, it's been proven that they do that. Wait, say that again?
Like, they can add or remove scenes, or they can add stupid, like, Disney Plus has a bunch of disclaimers for all their movies and things.
Yeah, like, warning you that this is how the 90s were, so this is how they talked. Like, ridiculous shit, because, like, people are so sensitive. But it's been proven that Amazon does that. They edit some of their movies to get rid of stuff or add stuff. And I'm like, that's fucking trippy. That's so weird to me. But again, convenience. Like, you know, I love watching movies on Shudder, the horror film app or whatever. There's a show on there called Joe Bob Briggs' Last Drive-In Show. And Joe Bob Briggs, if you don't know who he is, I think I've talked about him before. He was like a movie critic, like a movie host from a long time ago. I want to say 80s or I don't know. I never watched his old shit. I just found out about him on Shudder, but apparently he used to do all that stuff back in the day. And then Shudder got him to do one on theirs called The Last Drive-In, and it's so popular they keep doing it. There's like a couple seasons now, and there's Halloween specials, Valentine's Day specials, all this shit. And what he does is he talks about a movie, tells you what they're going to watch, tells you little fun facts. He plays it, and so you actually watch the movie. And then he cuts into it and goes, all right, let's take a break. We're going to talk more about the movie. And then he plays more of it. Some people find that to be hell. I love it because I think it's really cool, especially if you're like a movie nut like I am. You like to learn trivia and have a little fun with the movie. So it's not just like you're watching a movie from point A to B and then it's over. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. And there's movies on there that he shows that I've never seen before in my fucking life. Like Chopping Mall, a movie about a bunch of kids that work in a mall that get stuck in there overnight because they're trying to party. And they're being hunted down by these killer robots that are the security system for the mall that go haywire. Like, it sounded stupid. Granted, it was kind of stupid, but it was interesting. I was like, damn, I had never heard of this movie before. If it wasn't for Shudder's Joe Bob's Last Drive-In thing, I wouldn't have known. However, I would like to own that shit. I would actually like to have a box set of that stuff. That'd be cool as hell. Yeah, they sell merchandise, but I mean, I think even that'll go away eventually, too. I don't really think there's going to be a lot of stuff like that. Maybe. I don't know. I could be just, like, freaking out or nothing. But it does feel like we're heading in that direction. And like I said, I'm that person that I do feed into it a lot, too, because I have a Kindle and a tablet, dude, and I buy books on it when I should be buying them physically. Because in my opinion, dude, nothing beats the experience of a real book, the smell, the feel, having it all beat up and, like, on your shelf for a collecting item. But it's so convenient to carry around a little device that has all that shit. You don't have to worry about ripping the pages or getting them wet or losing your spot. You know, like, it's convenient as hell. At the same time, it's just not the same as holding the book in your hand. So it's got its ups and downs. I do like, though, and, you know, I bitched about it before, with the whole, like, streaming at home, I like how when a movie comes out, literally, like, a couple days to a couple weeks later, you can watch it automatically anywhere. Prime, Apple TV, fucking Vudu. And, like, they kind of con you into this because it's like, hey, do you want to rent it for $20 or do you want to own it for $25? You might as well own it. And that's cool because I've been wanting to see the movie Cocaine Bear. Dude, it's already on fucking Vudu at home, so I can just buy it right. If I wanted to. I'm broke, so I haven't, but I'm considering it. Now I'm just waiting for them to do that for Scream 6, which I saw, by the way. It was pretty good. It was pretty fucking phenomenal. Better than it should have been. I thought it was great. It was way better than the last one. A little weird that the last one was just called Scream, and then this one's Scream 6. And it's the first one without what's-her-name playing Sydney Prescott, so that's funky. And spoiler, Dewey died in the last one, so now the only person that's of the original cast is Gail, and she's in this one for like a little bit. They had some returning stars from the series come back, and then they had the kids from the last one, Jenna Ortega and a bunch of other people. It was good. I thought it was, I went in with like fucking no high expectations. I was like very low. And I wasn't a fan of like the fact that they were going to make it take place in New York. Ended up loving it. They utilized the hell out of the setting. This is like the first Scream movie where you see the killer use a shotgun and kill a bunch of motherfuckers in a public convenience store. So like it was kind of interesting. And it's the bloodiest too, man. This one is fucking gory as fuck. I'm running out of breath just talking about it. It was good, though. I'd say, not quite 4-star. Well, I mean, for a horror film, for a Scream movie, it's definitely like 4 stars compared to the last few, because Scream is phenomenal. It's a legendary film. People that don't like horror films know what it is or have seen it. Scream 2 is all right. Scream 3 is fucking terrible. Scream 4 is okay. It doesn't really do anything. Scream 5 or just Scream is pretty good. I thought it was great. Again, it was just kind of like, eh. This one, though, was actually pretty good, so I'm kind of excited to see what they do with it, because you know they're going to make more. Just cash grab the fuck out of it. But yeah, I was shocked at how good it was. I mean, in my opinion, they just don't make good movies anymore. Not like they used to, anyway. It's hard to find a really good one that doesn't have any political lectures and shit like that or whatever, you know, but every now and then you stumble on one. Like, The Whale was definitely anti-religion, but it was still a pretty decent movie. I don't know if I'd own it. I said I would, but I'm thinking about it now. I don't think I will. Sorry, I thought I was going to burp, but that did not come out. It was just a yawn. I was like, oh, no. I could feel it coming. I'm just fucking wrecked, man. I had a long day, and I've had a long few days. I've been trying to get some stuff off the ground for the Grave Shift podcast. I'm trying to put more shit out there, but people don't understand, dude. This podcasting business is pretty, it's rough, especially if you're not making money doing it. It's hard, and Austin and I both have busy-ass schedules, so it is hard to stay on top of it.
Right.
We gotta get some guests on the show, though. I'm hoping, let's talk about this. I've been talking about the last few shows. We'll do it again. If you don't know by now, there's an indie film right around the corner that just had its opening night release at a Smodcast Cinemas, which is Kevin Smith's like screening theater, whatever you want to call it. It was pretty cool. I saw pictures of it. It looks like they had a good time, but they did the world premiere there for The Forest Hills, directed by Scott Goldberg. It's an indie horror film that I think it's going to blow up, because it's got Shelley Duvall in it, her first film in like over 20 years or some shit like that. Edward Furlong's in it. Dee Wallace, there's a bunch of people. I've actually been able to talk to the director, Scott Goldberg. He's been pretty cool about it. I get to be listed as a assistant, campaign assistant producer on the movie. So my name gets to be in the credits, which is kind of fucking cool. I didn't really do shit but promote it. But, you know, just to have that is kind of cool to be able to say that. I don't know what I would use it for, though, like on a resume. It's just I hold it dear to me, because I'm like, dude, I've always wanted to make movies, especially horror films. Again, though, until I actually get my foot in the door, I can't really, like, hey, man, not only am I good for that account manager position, but I also produced a movie. I was an assistant campaign producer. They'll just look at me like, the fuck?
Right.
But, you know, it's cool to be a part of it. Scott has actually been pretty chill with letting me talk about it and letting me get the word out for him. So, again, if you guys are interested in helping donate to the final product and just having some sort of mark on this movie, either reach out to me or go to like our Great Girth podcast page, like our Instagram profile, or you can follow me on Instagram. If you go to our link tree right there, no, it doesn't have an OnlyFans on it, but if you go to our link tree, you'll find the website where you can go and donate or find some way that you can be a part of the making of this movie. Again, it is finished, but they're doing some final touch-ups on it, so clock is ticking. You got to get in there if you want to be a part of this. Like I said, I think it's going to be big. It's an indie film, so it's probably going to take a little bit for it to blast off, but I do know that there's been like articles already by People Magazine and Fox News about Shelley Duvall's involvement in it. So, I mean, hey, you know, it's going to be something. I'm pretty excited. I've been excited, actually. I've been like sharing stuff for it, and I'm waiting for the final product. I'm going to buy a copy of it so I can own it and look at my name on there and be like, guys, look at that. That's my name. Like, oh, that's cool. Fucking nerd. Like, that's right. Bam. I was the campaign manager. Well, not really. I manage my own campaign for the campaign, but it's still cool. No, like I said, though, it's been an awesome process. Scott Goldberg's been really fucking cool. Yeah, I've just had fun with it. I'm kind of looking forward to see what happens with it. I actually learned something new because of it, too. There's like this, what's the name of the website? It's like Indiegogo or whatever, Indiegogo.com. So that is where the campaign was for it. And I found out that a lot of people, especially like newcomers and some celebrities like that have put their foot in the door, they use it to finance movies. It's kind of like a, you remember that GoFundMe shit? I think it's still around. I don't know. Well, people were using that to make movies too. And I didn't know that that's what this was too. Like, it's more than just movies. There's music on there, artists that are trying to get money to fund their next album, etc. You know, just like GoFundMe. So that was cool. I found some more shit on there. And there's like people that I've seen them in movies before, and they're using it to try to finance their next like independent projects. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. It gave me an idea. We should make a Great Girls podcast film and try to get some fan backing on it. We just got to get more viewers. Like, the fuck? Is this going to be a porno? Don't donate. Fuck that.
Nope.
No, I don't want to see any girls. I'm good. I don't know, something though, like help us get better quality mics or better quality for the show.
With having the girthy studios.
Mm-hmm. We're very much like a garage band.
It sounds like an amateur Pornhub channel.
It does sound like an amateur Pornhub channel. Like, this is the OF without the OF. So that's what we're running this on. If we were a garage band in the 90s, that's what this would be. We're a garage podcast, or as I like to call it, my daughter's room podcast. Austin's case, his basement. Like, we're doing these over Skype, so it's a slow burn, but it's getting there. We've been doing this for over 3 years, and we've picked up quite some recognition. There's bands out there that have reached out to me about wanting to be on the show, and I'm trying to get Scott Goldberg on the show too, but he's a busy man, so I'm just kind of waiting around. I don't want to pressure him either, because now that this is out there, right, he's got a lot he's got to do. So who knows? One day we'll get him on. Maybe we'll get Chico Mendez, who's also in the movie. He's the star of the film. It would be fucking awesome if we actually got Edward Furlong on this bitch, dude, because I'm a Furlong fanatic. He probably would hate us when he finds out that we're anti-everything he is. But, like, like, bro, I don't agree with anything that you just said. However, I love Brain Scan. Terminator 2 was phenomenal. American History X. Hate to say it, was a good movie. Dude, that'd be awesome, though. Like, Shelley Duvall, too. I mean, I'm positive she ain't doing nothing. Respectfully, she's an older person, so she ain't doing online interviews. I mean, maybe, but you gotta be really special. You can't be the garage band.
Yeah, you can't be two fat guys in their basement.
No, you gotta be like Jimmy Fallon for her to be like, all right, yeah, I'll put my voice on there for you. $25. Well, actually, no. I mean, if I were her, I'd be like, yeah, $2,000. All right. If that was the case, dude, I'm not going to lie, I'd go take out a loan. I'm like, all right, I need to get her on the show.
Yeah.
And then we're
going to say that's not a smart financial decision.
That's not, dude. Because what, like, we're talking, like, if I were to do something like that, I think our average show lately only gets, like, between 20 and 40 views. So I shouldn't have said that on the air here, but, you know, it is what it is. We're a startup company. Without the startup, it's a slow process. We're getting there, though. We're getting there. That leads me to the next part of the show. I want to say thank you to everyone that's been really keeping an eye on this and staying up with us. Ryan J. Sharp on Instagram. He's like one of our most dedicated followers. He listens to all the episodes. He likes all of our pictures. 10 Cent Beer Night Podcast, same thing. I mean, thank you to you, man. I'm actually posting stuff on my personal Instagram page, and he's always looking at it and commenting. And I appreciate the follow that we're getting. It's slow, but we're getting there. We've only been doing this for 3 years. Motherfuckers have been doing this for 10 years and still not catching a fucking break. So I can't bitch, but I will say this, like, this job doesn't pay shit. However, you can't give up. It's just like trying to be an actor. You can't give up. And you got to remember, everybody and their mother has a podcast now, so they're trying to, like, it's competitive, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of SoundCloud rappers out there. There's a lot of writers that are selling shit for Kindle and Amazon, or, you know, the Nookie Reader. Like, you can put your shit online, like self-publishing. It's a cutthroat business now because everyone's doing it. Everybody has their own website, too. So I think we should tap into investigative journalism and just start attacking everyone else that does it that's famous.
Yeah, just...
just for no reason at all.
Is a liberal
just start going after people that are like really like they have a better following. Like, yeah, no, he's a piece of shit. And let me tell you why. We're an investigative journalist show.
Boy does not know pizza.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, no, this motherfucker lied. Burger King is not that great. He's talking out his ass. So, dude, before we close this up, there's one more thing I do want to talk about. Man, our last few episodes have been very random like this, but I kind of like the formula because we're not just, like, doing what we used to do, which was one show dedicated to pop culture and then one for politics. I kind of like that we're all over the place. However, there's room for improvement, and this next thing I'm going to talk about definitely goes along with there's room for improvement. So how I just said that there's people doing shit online and everyone's, like, competing, I've come across, like, comedians and shit. They got their start doing shit like this. Chanel has, and for those of you who don't know, Chanel's my wife, but she's got this, like, mad obsession with this new comedian named Matt Rife. Have you heard of him?
I don't think so.
Well, she watches a lot of his stuff on TikTok, and he's been on Trevor Wallace's podcast. Trevor Wallace was also someone that did shit on Instagram and TikTok and stand-up comedian. Now he's pretty popular. However, the reason I bring these guys up is because I'm like, they're funny. Comedians are funny. The problem is, man, is everything is online. There's not a lot of shows and shit like that. And, like, I've been trying to watch some of the stuff she shows me from this Matt Rife guy. And I'm like, yeah, he's good. But if there was room for improvement, it's more like stop doing it on TikTok. But the problem is you can't say that because let's be honest. We know that TikTok is a scary fucking product. However, it works for people that are trying to get their shit out there. I just think we need to come up with something better that doesn't sell our data to China. That's where there's room for improvement. Not necessarily the content that's being created by these guys. It's more the fact that they're using the China machine. That's fucking scary. That's why I refuse to put our shit up there. I tried it, saw the fine print, and said, fuck no. There's room for improvement. Maybe we got to make the next TikTok. We'll call it, like, Girth Talk. That would be a good name for a sideshow, actually, Girth Talk. Or just talking shit. Are you playing with a coat hanger?
I was.
I saw you fucking with the coat hanger. I was like, why are you playing with a coat hanger? Oh, yes. We do need to talk about this. Horror films. I watched a documentary about found footage. And my opinion on found footage is that it's the lowest of the low. There's, like, very few good movies. And, like, I went on this fucking, like, rabbit hole because when I was watching this documentary, they were putting movies on it that were, like, shit I've never heard before. And there was one that I think it was, what the fuck's it called? I don't even remember, dude. But it's on Shudder, and it's about this idiot that he's your average, like, TikTok content creator douchebag that'll do anything for numbers. And so he agrees to go stay in a haunted house. And he's a fucking moron, dude. He's so stupid. The guy that played this character is phenomenal. Like, he really does play this role to a fucking T, dude. He's so annoying. He gets in this house, and stupid shit starts happening. It is so fucking funny and scary at the same time. It's actually a good found footage movie. I don't know what your opinion is on found footage. To me, they're really stupid. There's very few that are good. This one was actually good. I mean, have you ever seen a found footage movie that you, like, remember to this day?
Not really. Really, like, only distinctly remember two of those. No, the three, technically, but one's more of a parody, so it doesn't really count. But one of them I remember just because it's good, it's Blair Witch, but...
Yeah, that's the, like, the holy grail. If you ask me, that's the best found footage movie ever made.
I do remember... That's the... like that, and then I go into a house. God, I watched so long ago. It was so bad. And the final scene is like the lady drops the camera, and as she drops it, like, she goes on the ground and, like, drops it, and then she gets pulled away into the dark by the camera, and the movie ends. It was horrendous. I don't remember what it's called. It was so bad.
Are you talking about Quarantine when she's that reporter that goes into that apartment complex and they have rabies? That's actually a remake of the British film Wreck, or Record, technically speaking. They're both good. I mean, Quarantine is kind of corny. It's like really stupid, but it actually scared the fuck out of me the first time I watched it. Granted, I was high, so I think anything would have done it, but it was freaky. But Blair Witch Project is like the holy grail. Like, it's not the first found footage movie ever, but it's like the most popular. It's what revolutionized everything. And like, they're just, I don't know. I don't really like them that much. They're not. I watched one that was okay called The Gallows. You ever heard of that one?
No.
It's about these like high school kids that they're doing a play where like in 1992 someone did the play and they accidentally got hung in real life on the play, like on stage. Oh, so the kid died from a hanging. So these kids are redoing the play and they decide they're gonna go in after hours, like late at night, into the school and trash the whole setting. And they run into the ghost of the kid that was fucking killed or whatever, and he starts hanging all of them. It was kind of stupid, but it was okay, you know, like, it was pretty good for found footage. It utilized it very well. That being said, though, I'm going to go find my ass to sleep, and then you can find that footage later. I hate to cut it short, but I have a lot I got to do tomorrow, and I got to get this bitch out there, too, because we haven't had a show in a while. We apologize for that, people. Again, we have very busy schedules, and lately Austin and I have been kind of taking care of life first, but we'll get better about being more on track. It's just kind of hard these days. Austin's a busy man. I'm busy with work mostly, man. Work is what's really taking up a lot of my time. But that being said, if you guys like what you heard here and you want to check out more, including some of our rants that would deem us as bigots and racists and fucked up people or whatever the hell you want to call us, you can find all that at thegreatgirthpodcast.com. Again, for all the deaf children in the back, that is thegreatgirthpodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, pretty much anywhere. We're kind of on Twitter, but that's a slow process. Twitter blows, so it is what it is. Otherwise, thanks, guys, for listening. Austin, buddy, I had fun. I'll see you on the next one.
Adios.